Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
There's nothing wrong with you. You're being gaslit and you're being made to believe that there is something wrong with you and that you're the problem.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. You have Michelle and Barb here sitting at the table, super excited to chat with you all this week about life and the sneaky habits and traits of manipulation. What a treat. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited again today to talk about our current topic of manipulation and one of its forms.
Well, you so lovingly and
yes,
joyfully led into this week's conversation last week after we had a whole lovely chat about manipulation and all of its facets of life. And as we said before, we're going to kind of dive into, do a little series of diving into the little facets of manipulation. And you let us know last week that we're going to talk about gaslighting today.
Drum roll. Here we go. Gaslighting.
Wow. She's so excited. The joy that comes on her face when we talk about heavy topics is truly something to be studied.
Well, you know why? Because we share our experiences and I feel like, first of all, as I said last week, a little bit, I've never heard of the word gaslighting until recently. And as I've been diving into it and looking at my own life and my own experiences and all the things, there's a relief that comes for me. There's a relief that comes over me when I understand this is what's been happening. There's almost like I can breathe. You know, I guess there's always a part of me that wants to get to the bottom of things or wants to be able to unravel what's happening from the inside out. And I guess I like to name things, you know, that
you
whole
do.
Thing, name it to tame it, especially with emotions and stuff. So whenever I hear, this is actually a thing and that I've been gaslit often in my life and there's something I can do about it. You know, like it makes it real and it makes it tangible and it makes it, okay, I can do something about this. I can use my power, I can use my practice, I can use all the things and do something about this. So I'm very, very excited to talk about gaslighting today with you, Michelle, and share our experiences and some of our knowledge and some of the things that we've learned.
Yeah. As we talked about last week with manipulation, we wanted to dive into some of the most common tactics of manipulation. And I think it's impossible to talk about manipulation without than leading into gaslighting, especially in the times that we're living in. You know, we have done an episode on gaslighting. I think it was last year or 2 years ago. Or no, I remember it was in 2023 because gaslighting was the word of 2022. And I remember we were talking about it because they had seen a huge influx in people Googling gaslighting. What is gaslighting? Because like you said, it gives a name to a dynamic that so many of us experience that we didn't know necessarily how to describe or put words to. And being able to have that name and to now dive into and understand how it feels and what it looks like is hugely comforting to people, especially in a world where it happens often. Again, we talked last week about this, but the same goes for this: the internet, politics, cults, religion, family, friends, work. There's so many areas for us to have the potential to be gaslit. And it is a manipulative tactic, which leads to being confused and overwhelmed and to doubt yourself and to really chip away at your own ability to discern and know what's right for you, which is hugely concerning for so many of us who are trying to be our own best friends and to establish that strong foundation within ourselves and to trust ourselves and trust our decision making and to really walk through life in a confident, assured way. And I'm super excited to talk about this today because it is so helpful, especially with this tactic, to really break it down and understand how to look for it, because it is so prevalent and so nefarious.
Wow. Really well said, Michelle. I'm so happy.
Thanks, Mom.
Too. We did talk about it a couple of years ago, and I think we have so much more to discuss today and in many different lights and many different angles. And I just want to give a shout out to all of the young people today, all of the generations under all the generations under me, your generation, the generation under you, the generation coming up under that. I think it's in my generation, you didn't talk about mental health. You didn't talk about mental wellness. You didn't talk about any of that. You talked about physical health. If you got hurt, okay, you go to the doctor and you figure it out. You didn't talk about mental health. Many of you know that I grew up in an alcoholic home, and we just didn't talk about mental health. You didn't talk about any of that. So a shout out to all of the young people today who are openly talking about mental health. And I think it's why it was the 2022 word of the year, because so many, as you were saying, Michelle, so many of young people were Googling that word, and they were actually identifying and saying, this is what is happening to me. This is how I feel. Like there obviously is still a stigma about mental health, and it's going to probably take a long, long time for that to get over, because we didn't talk about it. So now we are starting to talk about it. And I think there's so much more that we need to do as a country and as a world. But a real big shout out and a thank you to the younger generation talking about the behaviors that they've been feeling and talking, being vulnerable and talking about things that are happening to them in terms of relationships, abuse at work, abuse in family situations, abuse in relationships and friendships and romantic relationships, all of the things. And I am so happy. I am so happy because for me, what they have identified in this term gaslighting has set me free. Hmm. It truly has set me free in a very big way, because one of the things that for the mental side, you know, growing up in an alcoholic home, being in recovery for bulimia and all of the things that I've looked at, my mental health was struggling as a child, was struggling as an adolescent, was struggling as a young adult. And I never would have thought to even think about, because in my generation, you did not talk about your life. You did not talk about your family life. You didn't talk about anything. You didn't go to therapy. You didn't tell anybody anything. You just kept it. You kept it all internally inside, and you figured out how to deal with it. And so what the younger generation is talking about so much today that I'm so grateful for is that the mental health impact of gaslighting. And I think it's why, again, it was the number one word, because it's all the feelings of powerlessness, confusion, stuff that we talked about last week on the episode, isolation, you know, disorientation, why suicide rates are up more than ever. Maybe it's because we now know about them so much because of social media. But I would have to say this idea of being isolated, disoriented, confused, feeling powerless because the world today is so chaotic, and not that it wasn't before, but we're actually feeling it and talking about it. And then, of course, what it does to your psyche in terms of low self-esteem and how you feel about yourself and your self-worth, I think is really been powerful that we're now talking about that. So
absolutely. We talk about so often awareness is key, and having the language to talk about things and the bravery to be vulnerable about what we experience without feeling shame or fear is huge to out some of these tactics that have gone on for so long and have really caused a lot of suffering.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so happy to be talking about these things.
And in the vein of talking about manipulation and the practice of saying things or doing things to get what you want or get a desired outcome, gaslighting for sure is, I believe, one of the top tactics to achieve manipulation. And it's so, you know, in last week's episode, we talked about how manipulation is a spectrum, and that it can come from, you know, desperation and the systems with which we live in. And I think that it's not always necessarily can be labeled bad or good. But I think that gaslighting in and of itself really doesn't ever have good roots. I really do think that anyone who sets out to gaslight, and maybe if they don't even know that they're gaslighting, but that they do practice this tactic, really does have nefarious or manipulative in the bad connotations, intentions. I don't think that you can gaslight for good.
No.
Unless, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're 1,000% correct. And I think it's why gaslighting is a form of abuse. You know, it's easy. It was easy in my generation to think of, you know, sexual or physical, you know, harm as abuse. I mean, even though we never talked about it or any of that back in my day, it's still, you could label it abuse in a very quick, easy way. Oh yeah.
And everyone knows abuse is bad.
Yes, exactly. That's abuse and it's bad. Where we never talked about mental abuse when I was young growing up. And even in, as I said, even in my early adult years, we didn't talk about mental abuse. And we talked maybe about mental dysfunction as I moved around along in my lifetime. But now we're literally talking about forms of abuse, and mental abuse is real. And gaslighting is a form of mental abuse, which is not okay.
Yeah. And it's so tricky because, like you were saying, physical abuse, you can see it, you can witness it. And mental abuse and mental manipulation obviously is not able to be seen. And it's so insidious because when you think about someone or something eroding away at someone's mental health and chipping away at their ability to trust themselves and to know what they see as true is really, really scary to me, actually, because it again, just has so many layers of impact and effects. And yeah.
And it's progressive.
I'm excited to talk about it.
Me too. It's progressive too. It is very scary. It is very serious. It is something that we must take a look at in our lives. Because if you think of it, gaslighting is a form, the actual definition, and I'll add some of my own stuff to this, but it's a form of psychological abuse. It is a form of manipulation. It is on the end of that spectrum of being very, very evil, you know, very controlling, very abusive. And really, it's the form of a manipulation, I believe, as a gaslighter, to which the abuser wants to sow self-doubt and confusion in the person's mind. And I would use the word victim, because I think gaslighters, you know, look at these are my people that I get to manipulate mentally. And so it really is sowing that doubt and confusion. And what more insidious, horrible thing to do in a person is to sow doubt purposefully, sow doubt and create a whole practice and a whole path of sowing doubt and confusion in another person's mind because of them wanting to gain the power and control over the other person And how they do that then, if you're really manipulating someone's mind, oh my gosh, there's nothing more scary to me than mind manipulation, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's...
When you're trying to manipulate someone's mind, you're distorting reality all the time. You don't know what the truth is. You don't know what a lie is. It's all so blurred. You're distorting reality. You're forcing the other person to question their own judgment, their own intuition, their own knowing about the hit they might get in their stomach. Whoa, this doesn't feel right to me. We're questioning everything in that whole not seen but heard way. And it's what scares me, what has scared me the most about being a person who has been manipulated in this way, you know, starting from being manipulated as a child through sexual assault and sexual abuse, is you gradually, and that's why I say it's a progressive situation, it's a progressive abuse. It starts out maybe this way and then it ends up where you gradually start to question your own memories,
yeah,
your own perceptions. And I believe I had a great fear. My mother instilled this in me in a young, young age because she was so terrified of going crazy. Mm. And so she used to say often, Barb, you're crazy and you don't want to be crazy. You don't want that word crazy was so prevalent in my childhood. And so being a person who had been manipulated in this fashion in my lifetime several times, starting with my uncle with the sexual assault and abuse, I literally thought I was going crazy. There'd be many times in my life where I'd say, I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm well. And I would really doubt myself seriously to that degree. And because we start denying the fact that we even know it's true. And then I remember I would start thinking people are spreading rumors about me, especially in high school. I remember thinking the entire high school were spreading rumors about me. So I became a hermit. Hmm. I literally became someone who didn't really talk to people much. I just stuck to myself and did my studies, didn't really have any friends. And, you know, then I would dream up or I'd think that I'm the problem. Like I'm the one that's being blamed. That's why they're not talking to me. So it's that idea of isolation and the disorientation. I'm just very grateful. I'm almost very grateful. I'm just very grateful that my life has unfolded in the way that it has. And I had the privilege of being able to get into treatment for bulimia at a young age and all of the things. But it's been a long, long, hard road. And it doesn't mean that I haven't been manipulated even in recent years in marriage.
Right.
So it's such an insidious thing. And I know where to start with it because I know how it starts. And I just want to say that if any of this resonates for you, it gets worse.
Jeez.
No. I mean, if it resonates, I don't mean to scare you.
If you're in it, buckle
you.
Up.
Yeah. I don't mean to scare you. I actually mean for it to relieve you. Like there's nothing wrong with you if you're being gaslit right now today in any relationship, work, romantic, friendship, whatever it would be. There's nothing wrong with you. You're being gaslit and you're being made to believe that there is something wrong with you and that you're the problem. So I'm excited about this conversation today to go deeper into it. Yeah. Because to help people see that, you know, there is a thing out there called gaslighting and there are ways for you to extricate yourself from that if that needs to be the case. And for you to just to become aware and know that there is not something wrong with you and you can really take back your power and your self-esteem and your self-worth and your love and your joy in life that has been stolen from you, I believe.
Exactly. You hit on a word that I had been thinking about, which is power. And I don't think that there's any practice that is more disempowering than gaslighting because the way that it erodes your own ability to remember, to trust, to feel confident, and to just be able to show up for life is truly terrifying. And I've been thinking about so many instances in my life where I've let the pattern of gaslighting that's happened throughout my lifetime really etch away at my own ability to trust my mental faculties. Like, oh, did that really happen? Did I remember this correctly? And even in very neutral, normal situations, like, oh, did I remember that conversation correctly? Or did I really do that? And it's super, I know I've said confusing and disorienting so many times, and it's even more than that. And I don't even know if I have the words to describe it, but not being able to trust your own memory of what you did or how you acted or how you felt is really, really scary and isolating.
You just hit on how you felt. It really erodes you being able to trust and feel your feelings. Like, we always talk about emotions and feelings and how important it is for us to be able to feel our feelings and own them and let them go through our body and let us look at them and start having some insight into them and all of the things that it takes, because feelings are real. They're not final. They're not facts about life, but they're real. Feelings aren't good or bad. They just are. It is really one of the one things in our life that just is. Our feelings are our feelings. Mm-hmm. And so if someone is trying to take that away from you, can you just imagine for a moment? And if you haven't been a product of gaslighting, wow, I want to meet you.
Well, but we all have.
Just, yeah, I think so in some shape,
I mean,
or form.
Collectively with
everything
happening in our world.
But just
world.
For a moment, imagine what it would feel like not to be able to trust or own your own feelings. You know, not to really be... in a situation where you can't, you know, we talk about trusting yourself, but not even to trust anything about you.
Yeah.
Because I think not being able to trust our feelings, and it doesn't mean we buy into the feeling and that we go down the rabbit hole of it. It means that we just honor that it's a feeling and that it's there.
Well, and that it happened.
And that it is, exactly. So
I mean, I can think of gaslighting where you can have an instance that happened and then someone say that never happened. And how infuriating and insane making to know that you saw it and someone is denying your reality. And if it happens over and over and over again, like it really has the potential to make us all literally lose our minds.
And I think gaslighting is talked about a lot in romantic and personal relationships and family relationships, but it's also in the workplace.
It's everywhere.
I remember so vividly in my early days of working that so often, you know, that it's all about the same thing that you're saying, Michelle. It puts your credibility in doubt. You know, someone else will take the credit for what you did and make you think that you didn't even do it, that they are deserving of it. Or they won't own up to a mistake. You know, that they'll say, I didn't do that, you did it. You know, and just like really be very firm and very convincing, however that personality is. And so it's just causing you to question your take on any given situation and belief and confidence in yourself and what experience you might be having at the time. So much blame and all kinds of stuff can happen in the workplace as well. So I think I'm excited to go through some of our examples that we have experienced in gaslighting, just to kind of highlight what it could look like. And if it resonates for you, maybe it'll help you start to unlock, you know, some of the thoughts or the feelings or the behaviors that you've been experiencing as well. And if not, as we always say on the show, just leave it.
Right.
But we've got some examples of gaslighting.
Absolutely.
To help you maybe understand it a little bit better or relate to it a little bit better through our own experiences.
Absolutely. And so just to refresh, gaslighting is a manipulative tactic. And like you said, a psychological and mental abuse and a means to control. And over time, people who are gaslit are being lied to or given fake information to lead them to question their reality or what they know to be true about a situation or about themselves. And so you can see over time, people start to question their mental faculties. And it is a slippery slope of its effects, you know. And it's certainly something to look out for in our own lives and to really have that awareness of, so that we can stop it quickly or identify it for ourselves and put up boundaries around gaslighting tendencies, because truly the negative effects on our own psyche and mental faculties is enormous. And I can't really think of any other aspect of life where it really, I mean, not to sound so fearful and gloom and doom, but it is so insidious and it is so impactful in our lives that it really is something to look out for and be mindful of, because when you have your judgment and your discernment and your mental faculties eroded away with this tactic, it's really a lot of work to get it back and to regain that trust in yourself and to build back that muscle and to know what's true. And so if there's something out there that you should look for when we're talking about red flags in life, like if you start to notice a gaslighter, keep your boundaries up.
Yeah, and that's why I think going through some of the examples will be helpful. And then we could also talk, Michelle, about the impact of gaslighting on mental and emotional health, because I think it's true. And we're not here to scare you ever. We're already scared enough, I think, in life of all the things that go on from time to time. But we are here to help you become aware. And for, I want to say it one more time, that for me, this has been I can breathe. This is a thing. And it's outside of me. It's something that is happening outside of me to me. And I now can little by little start to take my power back and do things, set up some boundaries, get some mental professional help if I need it, or I can go find some friends that I trust completely and that have my back and talk to them. Those are the things that we can start to do, which is what I did back in the day and still continue to do from time to time if I'm not sure of something, because I think it has a deep effect on our emotional well-being of being confused. And so if I get into a situation and if I'm in a relationship, I'm a little confused, I'll call on, you know, my couple of my really, really close friends. I'll say, hey, what do you think about this? And of course, I talk to you about it, Michelle.
I was going to say, hey,
yes,
I hear too.
Definitely. So it has devastating effects, I think, on our mental well-being and our mental health, which we can go into a little bit toward the end of the show. But I think a great way to start would be to go through some of the examples of gaslighting.
Yeah, jump in.
Well, the first one I think about that comes to mind for me is that idea that the person insists that an event or a behavior or something that we've done or something that's happened to us, that we're remembering it wrong. That, to me, was kind of the first thing that started, you're remembering it wrong. It didn't happen that way. That's not, what do you mean? That's not what happened. You know what happened. And even in my sexual abuse as a child, that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just loving you. You know, that's not what happened. So the idea that's not what happened, that what we endured, the event or the situation or the behavior from the other person or what wasn't real. Like, you are crazy. As I said, that was one of my triggers. What you experienced, what you witnessed, what you went through never happened. You are remembering it wrong. Where do you go with that? I mean, it is such a huge piece. So that was the very first, I think it's, I didn't call it gaslighting when I was a child, but that was the first thing that happened to me. Like, whoa, what's the matter with me? Maybe my mother's right. Maybe I am crazy.
With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts, because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoir membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoir is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoir can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoir today, because right now our listeners can give Armoir a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoir.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoir.style, A-R-M-O-I-R-E, .style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoir today.
If you ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy, don't worry, I am right there with you, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you all to Sunbasket. Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, and no more grocery shopping, which was a big plus for me. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week, with options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten free, all featuring organic fresh produce, which is super important to us. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock in one type of meal. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for each and every week. They even have a pre-made meal option as well that are just as tasty and ready in 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you have to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. And I'm so thrilled to share a special offer for our lovely listeners. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Well, and even having, I can hear conversations around this where, oh, I'm sorry you interpreted it that way.
Yes.
That wasn't my intention. Oh, if that's what you thought happened, I'm sorry. Another way to gaslight, which you can see if you've had that situation happen, then over time, I know I've said in my life, again, in benign situations, maybe I'm not remembering this correctly. I might not be remembering everything clearly. When I clearly have, it's just that seed that gets planted for so long of you don't have the ability to recall information or recall memories with certainty or with fact. And that's such a,
it's insidious.
Yeah.
And then the second thing that leads to, for me, what it led to was if I had the little bit of courage or bravery to say, wait a minute, this is how I experienced it. This is how I feel. The person doubles, triples, quadrupled down by lying, by saying no, and denying anything that what you're saying could possibly have the slightest bit of truth, even if you provide proof, even you say, look, this is the proof. Just the absolute refusal to admit to a lie or to a reframe of what happened. Absolute. Like, there's no question. So you really are stuck in a situation. There's no way out of this. I either have to just suck it up and take what they're saying to be true, which it isn't, which I know it's not true, or not. And that just really erodes your ability to trust or have any confidence, or even you start to not like yourself because, wow, there really is something wrong with me. But I know that this isn't true, but they're saying it is true. And what am I going to, there's really nothing, like you're in a box. There's nothing, there's almost nothing worse than feeling like you really are in a box and you have no choice and no control.
Well, it becomes your word against theirs. And depending on the power dynamics and the structure that you're in, people might be more willing to believe one person over the other. And it's like that Sisyphus complex where if you're having to push uphill against a group of people or a power structure to be believed, it's soul crushing.
Yeah. And then, you know, another sign of that, staying with the lying thing or refusing to believe or refusing to admit, you know, they change the subject then. Like, they won't, you really are stuck because they will not tolerate a conversation about it. They refuse to listen. They continue to lie about it. They continue to show you their signs that we're not telling the truth, even if you do have proof. And they have all the power. They have all of the control. And then so when it moves from that, when the absolute refusal to listen, the absolute refusal, then they start changing the subject, which really makes you feel crazy because you don't want to really go to another subject and do what? So you kind of blank out. I know I kind of like wasn't there. I feel like I've been told in recent years that I time travel.
And, she does.
You know, so I think, you know, I just kind of went into a whole nother world or a whole nother universe because I don't want to talk about something else when I know that what I'm talking about is true, but then I think something's wrong with me. So I just kind of space out, or I just kind of would get out. I would just lose my ability to stay present because I just couldn't take anything more in.
Well, certainly a defense mechanism or a result of abuse and gaslighting and manipulation is to disassociate from the yes. current reality. And of course you can only handle so much. And so when you're in a situation where you feel like you can't even participate from an even field, of course you're going to check out.
Yeah. And then that led to the gossiping, thinking that people are talking about me and this person spreading rumors about me and telling me that other people are talking about me and that I need to get my stuff together. I need to get myself together. That, you know, that whole idea that the whole world out there, because we can get that way. I mean, I know I got that way in my younger years. Like, the whole world out there is against me. They're all talking about me. That I can't think of the word that I'm looking for. What is that word when you feel like, oh shoot, I can't think of that word, Michelle. There's a word that I'm trying to think of. It'll come to me. When you really feel like they're all talking about you. And so it's not just this one
paranoia.
Person. Paranoia, thank you. It's not just this one person. Like, because they're telling you. They're saying, you're thinking that they're spreading the rumors and gossiping about you, and they're telling you that other people are talking about you. Like, it's such a crazy making thing, such a crazy making place to be mentally.
Yeah.
And then when you do call them out about it, this is another example. I know you'll do your beautiful tangible takeaways at the end, but this is another example because I'm so into this so big time because I really want all, I want no one to be gaslit. I don't even know how to say it now, but so, and then when you call them out or you really can't let it go and you continue to harp on it or you continue to talk because they're telling you it's harping, but you just can't let it go. Then you get told you're overreacting.
Right. You're the problem. You're the crazy one. Yeah. Why can't you just get over it?
Yeah.
We've already talked about this. Move past it.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing this up again?
You're ruining your life.
You're obsessed with me. You're obsessed with the situation. All of those things.
Yeah. Yes. It's very, as we said in the beginning, it's very progressive. Like it takes on one form and then it goes to the next, because it's never, I think why it's, for me, why I think it's so progressive is because it eats away at your own self-worth, your own self-talk, your own self, all the things. It's all about self and inner knowing and the mind and just all of those things. As you said, the first few sentences, Michelle, that you don't see it. No one can see it. Only you can feel it and see it. No one else in the external world. So it's all internal. And it's the most horrific abuse and horrific trauma, I think, that you can go through. And illness and what am I trying to say? Harm and sores.
Sores.
Well, like when you get harmed on the outside, you can see the cut or you can see the bruise, or you can see the sore.
Oh, I don't like that word.
You've got
gives me the ick.
You've got all of those same things happening on the inside. All the
internal
harm,
sores,
internal, yeah, internal cuts, internal bruises. It's the same, but no one is seeing it but you. So you're really stuck in your own reality of what your life is, mm-hmm. and no one's listening. You feel like,
yeah,
and no one's there for you. You just feel so isolated.
So I have a question about this for you. Is it possible to have a healthy relationship or to maintain a relationship with someone who has knowingly gaslit you?
That is a $1 million question.
I guess, and I know, sorry, you can't speak in absolutes, but I'm thinking about our listeners here who might be saying, okay, yeah, someone I know in my life has gaslit me. Can I fix this? Can I trust them again? Can I repair whatever trust has been broken with someone who has gaslit me? Or is this a sign that I really do need to, well, of course, set a boundary, but can this person be in my life? Second part of that question. Do you think that, I know we said at the jump that there is no positive or, you know, healthy aspect of gaslighting, but do you think that all people who gaslight can be labeled as, you know, narcissists or people who, you know, really do need, we should be setting strict boundaries with and not have in our lives?
Well, that's two massive questions. And I think my answer to both of them are I cannot answer that for anyone listening, because we can only answer that for ourselves. But what I will say is, if you are identifying with any of this that we're talking about, it is really, really, really important that you have someone that you can talk to about it, and someone that you trust, and someone that you know that will not abandon you or use it against you, that will actually be there for you, so that you can just start to talk it through with someone, so you can start to hear what you're feeling, hear what you're saying, and someone else can just be there to listen, just so that you can start owning that what you feel, because we're so used to not having our feelings validated at all. Just so you can start the process of feeling, what are you feeling? So what I'm saying is, start to put yourself first. Like, maybe if you're in a relationship with a gaslighter, you know, just if it's possible, just to kind of let it be, because you can't do anything about it anyway right now, because you're in it, and really put all of your focus and your energy onto yourself, onto being able to find someone to start talking about your feelings, being able to start looking at, how am I actually feeling? What is happening? But it's hard to do that on our own. Mm-hmm. You've got to have another person, you've got to have someone else, whether it's a community of someone else's, like I was in the 12-step program, whether it's a therapist, whether it's a friend that you know who could be there to listen to you, to help you kind of tease through some of this stuff. You've got to have someone else to talk to so that you can do the work, your own personal internal work of sorting it out and knowing, how do I feel? And so once you can start doing that and realize how you're feeling, you know, and because you've got to feel safe, you've got to mm-hmm. feel protected. You've got to feel like, I'm not going to be attacked, and I'm not putting myself in a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. So that's my answer.
No, it's a good answer.
We really can't, we're not here to tell you what to do ever. And as I said in the last episode, I don't want anyone telling me what to do.
No, and I wasn't asking for that.
No, I know you weren't. And I'm glad you asked the question. No. I appreciate. I'm so happy that you did. Because you and I talk about this a lot. I'm so happy that you did because I want to make it clear. But I think our first step, which was my first step when I went into treatment, you know, for bulimia 40 years ago, my first step was I need help. Mm-hmm. I need to find some place to get help. Now, back then, you know, I checked myself into treatment, and that's an extreme, and that isn't necessarily what all people need to do, but you have to find some form of help, some form of community or a person or a therapist that can be an absolute witness to listen to everything that you have to say.
And, you know, if you don't necessarily have a person, I think journaling can really come in and serve as a really helpful tool. If you are resonating with this conversation and you're like, wow, I've been gaslit so many times and I really do doubt my own ability to remember, start to journal, you know, about your day and your conversations so that you can at least have a documentation of things that happened so that you can, for nothing else, to remind yourself, look, I have this written down right here. This is what happened. And I'm not going to let what someone else says in this moment counteract that.
That was really beautifully said, Michelle, because I just tapped into, there was a time my best friend and I have only, she was my first friend really. And my first best friend, many, many years ago, she died in 2012 at 52 years old. She was that person for me. I mean, certainly I've been in therapy and, as I said, treatment and that, but she was that person for me. Whenever she would just listen. She would just listen. And whenever I was done and she was done listening, she would always kind of like come back to me and say, remember who you are. Mm. Like you're saying, journaling can kind of remind yourself of who you are and what you've been through and what the reality and the truth is of your life. She would always say, what you're feeling is true in the moment. Remember who you are. Remember that no one has the power to take away who you are. And then, you know, my favorite teacher, James Finley, with his beautiful work on, you know, nothing in your past and no person and no thing has the power to name who you are or to tell you who you are or tell you what you're feeling. I always interpret it in those ways. So having that other person that could just listen, once you're journaling and stuff, if you could have one other person that would just listen, and just validate that they don't know that your feelings are real, but they're real for you. And to just have someone say to you, remember who you are. Your feelings are valid. They're not final. You know, they're not a fact, but that's how you feel. And now you can work from that platform. You can work from that foundation of, this is how I felt. And now what?
Mm-hmm.
And I think then the other thing, the other thing in this whole gaslighting, how it kind of progresses, and some examples of gaslighting, you know, deflecting responsibility and claiming that if you acted differently, I wouldn't be this way. You know, like blaming you.
Of course.
If you weren't this way, I wouldn't be this way. It's all your fault. You know, they always have to be right and you always have to be wrong. So it's all your fault. That blame shifting is huge. Absolutely huge. Well, if you weren't the way you are, I wouldn't be this way. If I wasn't married to you, I'd be a different person. You're not the person I thought that I was marrying, and look at what you've done to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of craziness. And then when sometimes they can be at a weak moment where they feel like maybe they're losing a little power, you're going a little bit too much over the edge, and they'll try to smooth things over with loving words or loving comments and stuff, but the actions never match the words. You know, it's like a temporary moment of trying to show some kind of empathy, but the actions are never, the actions just aren't there. You know, and twisting stories to minimize abusive behavior. You know, the same old thing. Well, it didn't really happen that way. You're just remembering it that way. You need to check your memory. And then this is a big one. And I know this was a big one for you. I remember even when you were younger and even in your middle school, high school days, even, you know, in your college days and stuff, because you're sensitive. Mm-hmm. You are a sensitive being. And it was never a joke for someone to say you're way too sensitive. you know, or never, oh, I was just joking. You never, I remember early on, I think I talked about this in one of the episodes. I remember I never ever did this to you ever in your life, and I've never done it again since. But I remember one time, I don't remember how old you were, 6, 8, 10, something like that. Mm. And I told you to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And you were so devastated. You were, talk about disrespect. Maybe that's why disrespect is our number one podcast topic. You were so devastated and you were in shock. I cannot believe you told me to shut up. And I remember I was in shock because I couldn't believe I told you to shut up. And I think in trying to, it was such a hurtful thing because I could see that it hurt you so terribly. And in that moment, I realized that some of us are more sensitive than others. So to tell somebody you're too sensitive, if I'd have said to you, oh, Michelle, get over it. It was just a joke. You're too sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
What a gaslighting thing for someone to do. I didn't do that. I recognized in that moment because it was so out of character for me to ever say something.
That just wasn't our language.
No, and I don't think I've ever told someone to shut up. So, but I remember you in that moment, and I've always thought of that. And over our years, you've always been brave enough to say, you know, that hurt my feelings. Or I'm very sensitive to that. Please don't joke about that. That really matters to me. So I think many gaslighters will minimize any, oh, it's just a joke. And now, especially in our day of living, you know, with politically correct and all of that stuff, oh, it's just a joke. We can't even have a joke about things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's very, it can be a very hurtful situation when you're being called too sensitive about your feelings or that they're joking at your expense and we're supposed to just get over it.
Absolutely. So I think to kind of start to detail what to look for and how to respond to gaslighting, you know, be aware of situations where people make you feel like you're not remembering a situation correctly or doubting your memory or feeding you lies that you know aren't true. And if it's possible in the moment, make sure that you try and speak up for yourself and state what's true to kind of cut that from, you know, continuing in that moment. Like, that's not what I remember. That's not my experience. I don't think that was true for me. And really have it in your mind or make it a priority to keep an eye out for these kinds of tendencies, both small and large. You know, I started to think about some more subtle aspects of gaslighting in our world. And as you were talking, I was thinking about there's an influencer who's kind of in this similar sphere of mental health, who kind of has co-opted the quote, comparison is the thief of joy. And it made me feel gaslit because I'm like, I know that that's a quote from Roosevelt, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying anything about this person, but it's just this, that when I was kept seeing that this was being attributed to this person and knowing that that's not true, I'm like, am I not remembering this right? Did this what's happening here? And this obviously is not as damaging as some of the other examples that we've talked about, but it made me feel like, wait, I need to go back and reaffirm what I know is true. And when people can't necessarily reaffirm what they're saying is true, even something like that is harmful. Not being able to live in the integrity of what is actually true is harmful. And so even when you see people on the internet or in your life that kind of cut out even small factions of truth for their own gain or for their own purposes, that is just as harmful because it does continue to etch away at your ability to discern and to remember and to feel like your lived experience is real.
I like that, Michelle. I also love, love, love what you said a few minutes earlier when you were talking about just taking the step to say, my memory of that is not the same as yours. And I think that's a really good place to start in a relationship if you're not sure where to start. Not trying to convince the other person, because we kind of know we can't convince them, and not trying to change their mind, but you standing up for what you believe is, and then let it go.
Yeah.
Like this whole thing with the comparison is the joy. You let it go. You knew, you looked it up. You knew that your memory was right. Then you let it go. You don't harp on it. You don't try to change it because you can't.
In your mind as, okay, yeah. I have corrected this in my brain.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And you're standing up for what you believe to be true. And that's what I love what you said a few minutes ago as well. If you're in a relationship and this is happening for you, just say, look, I don't remember it that way. That's not my memory. And if they come at you, just say, let's agree to disagree. That's not my memory of it. You know, so that would be a very frustrating thing for a gaslighter because they mm-hmm. want you to believe, they want you to buy in because they want the power and the control over you.
They want you to either walk away confused or walk away believing them.
Exactly. And so if you just start that little, it's huge what you just said, Michelle. It's huge. Just take that one baby step. That's not how I remember it. Without the attachment of needing to convince them, without the fight, without the argument, just owning what you know to be true and move on. And just keep doing that little by little by little by little. Because I think one of the, for me, the greatest insidious thing that happens with all of this is you truly, truly, truly lose your ability to care about yourself and your self-worth and your self-love and your self-esteem and all of the self stuff. And that's why I also love your journaling. It's a great place to start because you can start to see how you feel about yourself. What are some of the words that you're using about yourself? What are some of the things that you're saying? Really get intimate with what is my mind telling me about myself? You're so stupid. You're not good enough. All the things. Maybe if you had better clothes, or maybe if you weighed less, or maybe if you were this way, or maybe if you were this. You'll start to really start to develop, what am I saying about myself? How do I actually feel about myself? And then the little step of just saying, I remember it differently.
One that you like to use is like, let's agree to disagree.
Yeah. Let's agree to disagree. Especially if you're not, you have to build. This is not something I feel like you can't just rip the Band-Aid off. I don't want anyone to think in these, you can't just rip the Band-Aid right. off. I couldn't just rip the Band-Aid. It took a process. It took a path of me to be able to start little by little by little, developing and taking back my, you know, I like to say this a lot, taking back my power, taking back my self-worth, taking back that I'm not to blame all the time. I'm not wrong all the time. I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid. I don't need someone to explain everything to me because I'm not capable of understanding. I use this a lot now in my life. I'm capable of understanding anything that you're capable of explaining to me. Let's just not leave it at you don't understand. Well, explain it to me.
Yeah.
You know, give me all this
stuff. That's a really good one for gaslighters because when they're given situations to give examples, they do not like to do that.
No, they want you just to stop. So you're going to be the one then that just stops. Okay. You know what? I don't agree with you. Let's move on. And not doing it in a vindictive, try to do it in a way that you're empowering yourself. Mm-hmm. Like you're loving yourself. Like, don't be how they are. Be the kind, loving person that you are and just say, oh, let's agree to disagree. And hey, what do you want for dinner tonight? Mm-hmm. You be the one that shifts the subject. You be the one that brings it back to truth. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to talk about this some more. Oh, you know what? I think we just agree to disagree. And I believe strongly that you just little by little start to gain your own self-worth back and your power and your confidence.
So to give an example or to give a visual of kind of like what to look for and what to not look for, it seems like, you know, a green flag of a conversation with someone who, you know, maybe you have a differing of a memory or you're telling them that this is what you experienced and they're taking it in. A green flag of that would be if someone takes it in and says, and has integrity about it or has the ability to take responsibility for how they participated in a situation. Oh, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'm going to, you know, reflect on that or work on that. Or, wow, I didn't realize that I was doing that. I need to figure out what was going on for me.
Whereas a gaslighter or a manipulator or an emotional abuser will just project back on you and not have that ability to take it in or to reflect or to have the integrity or take responsibility for their actions. Is that what you would say would be a differentiator?
Yes. I think not to,
I guess,
not to own, not to,
not start to identify how people react when you bring these kinds of things to them. And if you're in relationship with people where they're open to not criticism, but conversation,
self-reflection,
where you can say to them, hey, look, you said this to me a couple days ago, and I just want to let you know, it really hurt my feelings. Notice how people respond when you bring your own experience and you're bringing your emotions to the table. How do they respond?
100%.
And if they respond in a way of blame and deflection and anything else like that, that's a red flag.
Yeah, 100%. Yes, definitely.
I just think it's important to notice, you know, even if you're still not sure how to identify it or the people in your life that are right for you and care for you and have your best interest at heart will not attack you when you bring something to the table that's hurtful for you.
100%.
Or will not pile on to your own suffering. And so just having that ability to see even just that small difference of conversation and how people deal with not criticism even, but just concern, whether it's big or small. That's a huge thing to look for. How do people deal with when they are criticized or when something is brought up to them? Do they take responsibility? Do they act with integrity? Do they have the ability to acknowledge when they've done something wrong and to try and make amends or to have remorse about it? Keep an eye out for that kind of thing.
Michelle, incredibly well said. And I think we talked about this a little bit when we had our mother-daughter episode. And we talked about how you and I have arguments.
Yep.
You and I have disagreements. We are two individual people. We love each other dearly, but we're not always on the same page. And we went into a whole talk about that, exactly that. If you come to me and say, Mom, my feelings are hurt, and the thing that I say the most the next second is, oh my gosh, please tell me about it. I want to hear about it. How did I hurt your feelings? What did I say? Because sometimes we say things we don't even know we said. I mean, we're not all perfect, and we are going to say things sometimes. But I will instantly say, please tell me about it. How are you feeling? What did I say? What happened? And if you're coming to another person that you're in a romantic or personal or a family relationship with, and you come to them vulnerable, you came to me in that moment that we talked about on that podcast, vulnerable. And if I don't recognize your vulnerability and stop without the arrogance of thinking, suck it up, I didn't do anything wrong, it's your mm-hmm. problem, you're too sensitive. What do you mean I said something wrong? You can't take a joke? I didn't say it that way. It's your perception, your problem that you took it that way. If people come at you like that and you're in a loving family, romantic, personal relationship, it is a red flag. Yes, I am saying to you 100%. If you come to me or if I came to you and said that, the first thing we would do with each other is say, tell me, please tell me.
Right. And even if it's not somebody that you're super close with, but you know, when you're trying to rebuild your discernment muscle and I'm thinking so much of the internet, of influencers, of politicians, of people who are really trying to sway you one way or the other. If you go to someone and say, hey, isn't it this, this, and this? And didn't you say this, this, and this? Notice how they respond to that. Do they take responsibility? Do they have the ability to acknowledge when they've made a mistake? Do they want to make amends for harm that they've caused? Do they sound genuine in their ability to learn and grow and want to do better? And, you know, with the internet, everyone has a voice. And it's important to be able to discern whose voices should we be listening to and whose voices should we trust. And I think starting to have that awareness of how people, everyone can be amazing when everything is going well. But I think starting to look at how do people handle those kinds of situations is a great indicator of their intentions and if they are or are not for you.
I love it. It is true. I mean, that is the truth.
Stay safe out there, everyone.
Well, no, I think it's also, you made a good point. It's also in work environments. I mean, we as humans are not perfect. And we as humans make mistakes. And we as humans say things we wish we hadn't said. And we as humans hopefully want to own our behavior so that we can continue to be a better version of who we are from the inside out. That's my belief. That's how I live my life. And I love living my life that way. So if someone is being vulnerable and coming to me and saying, hey, what you just said doesn't seem right. Your behavior right now isn't okay. I can get very excited very easily. I don't mean necessarily excitement, joy, but just worked up. And so I can be loud.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle will say to me often, Mom, you are yelling. I came from a household of five. I'm the oldest of five in an alcoholic home. Yelling was the norm. So yes, I even sound probably loud on the podcast sometimes. Mm-hmm. I can be loud. And so when Michelle says, Mom, you are yelling, I'm like, okay. You know, sometimes I don't recognize that I'm being worked up or my voice is actually yelling because you are a sensitive person and you have not had this kind of yelling. This has not been your norm. So it's very interesting to be able to have some self-reflection
mm-hmm.
and to own and then be able to say, okay, let me think about that because maybe we're not going to be so quick to own it. No, we're not saying just own it and get it over with. We're saying, okay, let me think about that.
Yeah.
Let me digest that.
Be receptive.
Let's talk about it. Be open and receptive and talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Rather than deflective and blaming.
Yeah, and closed off and just, oh, it's your problem. You're the problem. Go figure yourself out.
Yeah.
I grew up in a house where we were yelling all the time. That's the way it is. Live with it. And so I'm not necessarily saying that I can correct it 100%, but I certainly have made great strides at recognizing when my voice gets loud. So it's all a lot. It's all a lot.
Yeah.
And
so
I love it. And I know we're probably running out of time in this episode because I really wanted to go deep into signs that gaslighting can be affecting, you know, your mental well-being.
Well, I think
maybe the next episode.
Well, I think you can briefly talk about it now of just, if you're feeling like you can't trust your memory, if you're confused, if you're overwhelmed, if you
having trouble making simple decisions.
I was going to say, if you can't make decisions and you've always feel like you need to ask a million people to weigh in before making a decision, if you even are depressed and just start to have zero desire in life because you've been beat down, those are all some signs of gaslighting and the toll that it has taken on your life. And so really just start to notice those things and work on reminding yourself what's true. Have that support system around you to reinforce what's true. And remember not to be hard on yourself, to not to judge yourself, and to remember that it's not your fault if you've been gaslit. You don't deserve to ever be gaslit or manipulated or abused in any sort of way like this. And to remember too that you are worthy of relationships and of people and of circumstances in your life that will treat you with kindness, care, love, and respect.
I love it, Michelle. That's a great way to wrap up. And just maybe just little by little practice trusting yourself again and remembering that the picture that that person is painting of you is not the truth of who you are and remembering who you are.
Yeah. If you're suffering from this, you know, maybe start to make it a practice of reinforcing that every single day for a couple minutes of, I trust myself, I love myself, journaling, reminding yourself of your truth and really building up that muscle if it's been etched away at, because you're deserve it. You're
deserve
worth it.
And you're worth it. You're always worthy. I love you.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you. I love you. I love all of you listening.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much to everyone who is a listener of the show and supports us. We're so grateful for all of you. And we'll continue this conversation next week. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify. And if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating or review. We so appreciate when you do so. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or want to request a podcast topic for the future, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's always the best way to stay in touch. Lastly, don't forget to sign up for our Substack via the link in our show notes so that you can stay up to date with everything that we have in store for all of you. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.